Welcome to Season 2 of Sorting Pen, the California Cattlemen's Podcast. Every day, the California Cattlemen's Association is sorting through the issues impacting California's ranching families and producers. To communicate those issues, discuss solutions, and keep ranchers current on the hot topics, CCA leadership developed this podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Sorting Pen. Thanks for joining us for our last episode with Dwayne Lentz from Cattle Facts. Today we're switching gears to a topic that we've covered before, and that is fire. No surprise that we're back on this subject. Today we have our first co-host opportunity on the Sorting Pen podcast. And with me is someone that's been on the podcast. He had a pretty popular episode, and that is Fire Subcommittee Chair Anthony Stornetta. Thanks, Anthony.
Good morning. Thank you, Katie.
I know you're excited to be here. Also with us today, talking about prescribed fire, is what we're going to be focused on today, is Len Nielsen. He is the Staff Chief for Prescribed Fire and Environmental Protection with CAL FIRE. So thank you also for joining us.
Thank you, Katie, for having me.
So fire obviously is still top of mind for producers, ranchers, pretty much if you live in California. I think it's on the top of your mind in summer. So we thought this would be a good time to update everyone on some of the prescribed fire activities. And we wanted to start with talking about prescribed burn associations. I know we've talked about on this podcast and the good work Lenya Quinn Davidson has done, how prescribed burn associations are kind of moving their way throughout the state, improving. We're getting some new ones. Some are actually burning now. So we wanted an update there. So,
right on. Well, right now, CAL FIRE has the ability to work with PBAs and has had ever since 2019 a little bit more freely in the terms of cost share. So under SB 1260, the cost share requirement was removed under vegetation management plans, and it allows us to work with contractors like a prescribed burn association in order to cover them for prescribed fire activities and covers them with the liability. So we can partner up and they can be a cooperator. And having that in that bill was huge because with the growth of the PBAs across California, which is, you know, an emerging associations, and, you know, in North Coast, it's more, I wouldn't say more popular, but there's more membership on the northern part of California, but it is moving to Southern California. And as these groups build, CAL FIRE is here to support them. And supporting them means going out there with them and providing training opportunities with some of our projects that we can partner up with them. And we're looking forward to a good new relationship with them in order to build upon.
One question for you, Lynn, is I know we talked earlier about pace and scale and trying to get those black acres for the strategic plan. What are you guys doing to move forward with trying to meet that goal?
So there's a lot that's going on in the strategic plan for prescribed fire. It's every day there's something. We're just moving a little bit ahead every day. It's not fast. If you look at, you know, how long it took California to get in this place, you know, how long is it going to take us to get out? It's not going to be overnight. So we're really building that depth with staffing. We're building the depth with associations, with PBAs. And we're building that through projects, building projects. And we know that our projects right now often are small. They're, you know, 10 acres, maybe 100 acres. Every once in a while, we'll get a few hundred acres of projects. Just like with prescribed burn associations, they tend to do small acreage. So the next big thing to really drive home or really to complete are these big or large acre projects. And these large acre projects can be done as a collaborative with prescribed burn associations, with the Forest Service, with BLM, with other entities that are identified in the strategic plan. And so it's not the 10 acre project. It's great to learn on a 10 acre project, but when we're going to do meaningful acres, it needs to be not 100 acres, but 1,000 acres. And so these big projects are out there. They do take longer to plan and identify. The meaningfulness of it, the impact of it, is so much greater when you do a 1,000 acre project instead of a 10 acre project. Or in some cases, a lot of places are really, or a lot of organizations are learning, and they're learning on a 1 acre project, flat ground. It's a great place to learn, but California is very complex. And so an opportunity to burn 1,000 acres really has that complexity that will provide the opportunity for learning, and that will really increase our efforts to get to that pace and scale that California needs to be at in order to accomplish the 400,000 acres of prescribed burning by the year 2025.
So what I'm hearing, if you don't mind me jumping to conclusions, you really need the cattlemen to jump on board and help out with this. They're, because they own all that private land, you need us to be part of the solution.
We, Cal Fire does. You know, the California does, not just Cal Fire. California needs the Cattlemen Association to really step up and do these large acre projects. You know, it's hard though, because a lot of these areas that cattlemen are managing are forage for grazing. Grazing is a great way to reduce fuel hazards. It's great. Unfortunately, California grows brush great and other species trees. It's a great place to grow things. But if we can reduce the fuel load through either grazing or prescribed fire, then it makes California safer. And so if the cattlemen can step up, and they're committed to doing 25,000 acres a year in the strategic plan. That's a lot for cattlemen, because the prescribed burn associations have also committed to doing 25,000 acres a year. So there's 50,000 acres.
And Cal Fire is committed to doing 50,000 acres a year.
So we're in this together, and we need to do large projects in order to get there. So there's almost 100,000 acres between three groups working together as a collaborative. And working together is the only way we're going to get out of the situation we're in now in California for fire.
So Anthony mentioned, in addition to PBAs, there are some grants and partnerships for vegetation treatment and prescribed fire available. For those listening, what are some of those opportunities for them to get involved and be part of the solution like you're talking about?
So Cal Fire has quite a robust grants page. If you go to our public-facing Cal Fire grants, you just type in Cal Fire and Cal Fire grants, that page will come up, and we have several programs. We have workforce capacity granting, we have fire prevention granting, we have forest health grants, we have California Forest Improvement Program. That's another opportunity for landowners to take advantage of. It's not really a grant, but it's a cost share, but it's a way for landowners to really improve their property towards forest management and applying prescribed fire to it. NRCS has a program for reducing fuels, EQIP. And so with that, there's all kinds of programs out there right now that offer landowner assistance. And Cal Fire has several granting opportunities that people sign up for. It's a yearly cycle or annual cycle. And we're through the cycle currently, but usually around August and September is when we start asking people to start build projects. And building your project means describing it. And it's a great opportunity now to review the grants that are awarded, to see the information that's provided in them, so then the grant that you apply for as a cattleman, as a landowner, is competitive, because it is a competitive grant process. So we compare what you're doing or what you want to do and how you want to do it compared to somebody else wanting to do a similar thing. And then there is not an endless supply of funding, and so it becomes a competitive process.
Yeah, so it is a good time. It's July, so they open in the next month or two. Now's a good time to go through them.
It is a great time to go through, and Cal Fire's available at the local unit level in order to answer your questions about the granting process. We have a grants management team that is also available on our Cal Fire website to answer questions, and they're very responsive, and usually Cal Fire will hold workshops on the grant process, and we plan on doing that again this year.
Once you get those grants, how do you actually implement the burns? You can't just go out and burn by yourself. I'm sure people are wondering that.
So the way to actually get the fire on the ground is we write a burn plan. And the burn plan identifies the parameters or the opportunity that's identified based on weather conditions and fuel moistures and what's going on in the field in order to conduct that prescribed fire. And so it really lines out that opportunity. And so it might not be Tuesday the 2nd, right? But based on weather conditions, and you, as a prescribed fire practitioner, you watch the weather and you wait for that opportunity to come. And we call it a prescription window. In that window of opportunity, you'll see, oh, this is when I predict my fuel moisture will be at a safe level to ignite. And so we build this plan and we have it all in place. And so then when we see the weather prescription window will be favorable, we start calling our resources and seeing what the availability of them are. You know, the prescribed burn association, hey, I need 10 people for these roles and responsibilities to conduct this prescribed burn. Because depending on how big it is, will depend on the kind and type of resources you need and the complexity of the burn. It could be 100 acres of flat ground where you can do it with two people, right? If it's really simple and it's got roads around it, right? And the conditions are right. Or you might need 200 people. It just depends on the complexity of the burn. And so planning that complexity and really writing it down and documenting what it is really critical in the plan of prescribed fire. And so once you have your plan, you basically wait for the opportunity.
You know, one thing I was just going to, you kind of touched on it, Lynn, is talking to the local units. And something I try to emphasize as I go around, and down in Santa Barbara, San Luis County, we have range improvement associations who have been burning since the early 50s. And if it wasn't for the relationships and trust, that association would have dissolved a long time ago. But something I try to tell everyone is you have to get into these CAL FIRE units, develop that trust, talk to the foresters, whoever it is out there doing the burning. Is that something that the leader's intent from your side is also pushing?
It is. Recently, Chief Tyler was out at a cultural burn awareness training. It really focused on that very issue, the trust and relationship for prescribed burning and cultural burning. It's really critical for that relationship, especially at the unit level, right? So when a prescribed burn association or range improvement association wants to do a project, it's really important to involve the unit as early as possible, because there's a lot of resources within CAL FIRE that we can help and support that project. And we are all about doing more prescribed fire to reach that pace and scale level that we need to be at for California. And we want to be collaborative. We want to take on the liability to empower prescribed burn associations and range improvement associations the ability to complete these burns.
We mentioned it a couple times, but something I want to go back to is the 2022 prescribed fire strategic plan. What is that? What's in it that people should know about, specifically ranchers and our listeners?
I would say, first of all, it's about a 50-page document. It has lots of pictures, though. And it has a ton of information about prescribed fire. It really covers three aspects of fire for California. It covers prescribed fire, cultural burning, and managed fire, which are the three main applications of fire in the land, across the landscape in California. We don't talk about catastrophic wildfire other than part of the history of catastrophic wildfire and how critical California is and susceptible to catastrophic wildfire, which is why we're talking today, right?
Yeah.
It does cover those three elements to get fire back on the landscape in a meaningful way. It has goals that are identified within the action plan, within the strategic plan, that are called actions. There are nine goals, and the nine goals cover things like workforce capacity, right, which is huge for ranchers. We need to have more people working out in the natural or for resource management and in the environment in order to build the capacity to get to that pace and scale. And so there's opportunities, and there's an action plan in the strategic plan that identifies how we're going to get there. One of those ways is increased training, such as a prescribed fire training center in California. If we had a prescribed fire training center in California that trained people at any level, from any level to any level. So you get somebody who's interested in doing prescribed fire, and they come into the program and they learn a little bit. And what is their end goal? Their end goal, let's say for a rancher, is to apply prescribed fire to their ranch. That's what they're interested in. They're interested in learning more about it in order to safely apply prescribed fire. Great, here's a training center for you to go to take some classes, whether they're online and or in person, in order to give you those knowledge, skills, and abilities to apply prescribed fire to your land safely.
Where would they go now?
There's not. So right now, the nearest training center or training for private burners is either through Prescribed Burn Associations, UCCE system, or you go into a program called TREX. Those are really the only opportunities, or you come from the fire service where you get training through the fire service. And so those are the opportunities that currently exist. Under this strategic plan, we're really trying to focus on what would this prescribed fire training center look like? Where would it be? Does it need to be a brick and mortar location? Or can it be somewhere as a spoke and hub concept? The spoke and hub concept is training can happen anywhere. The field locations can vary. Because California is so complex, it's a great opportunity to do training in understory burnings like up in Humboldt or Mendocino, right, where we have ranchers that have timber overstory.
Sure.
And so there's an opportunity to do training there. And then there's ranchers down in Santa Barbara where there's a lot of grassland and oak savanna. There's opportunity to do training there. So the training is really the key element to prescribed fire. You need to go out there and burn and see how it's burning and to learn how to burn.
Lynn, was there any funding attached to the strategic plan or any bills for the prescribed fire school? I mean, we all know we need it, but I didn't know if there was.
Legislation is supporting the strategic plan. The next step is to write budget change proposals, or BCPs, in order to support the actions within the strategic plan. Now, the strategic plan is basically a guide to go from here to there, and some concepts and some actions in order to get from here to there. But there is no official funding attached to it. It's the strategic plan to get there. Now, there are parts and pieces that are being proposed in legislation in order to be supported. And so we're looking forward to submitting new budget change proposals within CAL FIRE and California Natural Resource Agency in order to support the strategic plan. So it's coming. Right now, the governor and our director are supporting an increase in using fuel crews and fire crews in order to support prescribed fire and fuel reduction activities.
I know everyone's experiencing a workforce challenge and staffing challenges. I know you guys are bringing on more crews and trying to get more staffing. We're all lagging behind. Do you foresee us getting that much stuff done this year? Do you think everything is for planning for next year? It seems like for us in the San Luis, Santa Barbara County area, it seems like all the planning is going to go into next year because finally our staffing is getting back up to where it needs to be for prescribed fire.
So as you know, prescribed fire is all about opportunity. And in the prescribed fire world, and I recently heard this from the Prescribed Fire Training Center director out in Tallahassee. He's stationed in Colorado from U.S. Forest Service. And he said, every day is a burn day for a prescribed fire practitioner. I would agree with that. Every day is a burn day in California. But does that mean that you're actually burning? No, it does not mean that you're actually burning every day in California. It means you're planning to burn every day in California. And so that plan, or that planning process, building that prescribed burn plan, gathering your resources, developing your opportunity for when you can, and putting it on the shelf and saying, this project is ready under these conditions. I need these resources and they're lined up. I need this prescribed fire burn boss ready to go. That happens year round. And so you wait for that opportunity. And so prescribed burn season, it's year round. You're not actually lighting the match year round because we have extreme weather and fire conditions in California where we can't do that, right? We're fighting fire in some years year round, December, January, you know, when traditionally it's wintertime and fires can't burn, but we're still seeing extreme fire behavior in California. Yeah, we can't burn every day, but we need to be thinking about burning every day. And that's the new level that California needs to get to, is it's a burn day every day. I'm either burning or I'm planning to burn.
Yesterday we had a fire subcommittee here in Rancho Murrieta. It lasted a couple hours, and there was a lot of concern about what happened in Greenville and losing whole communities. And I know there's a bill out there, AB9, that kind of addresses that. Can you let us know what's happening on that front? And a lot of our ranchers have a lot of concerns that another community is going to be lost. What's CAL FIRE doing on that standpoint?
So one of the things that AB9 creates is our wildfire mitigation group or division within our department. And under that division, it's really focused on community protection and home hardening and ways that communities can prepare for and defend against catastrophic wildfire. And so that bill really supports that effort. And CAL FIRE has already increased staffing and resources in that direction in order to support the ability for landowners to really start to increase home hardening and community protection. It's actively happening now. And every day is a burn day, just like every day is also a day to prepare for a catastrophic wildfire. If you live in California, you will likely see fire near you at some time in California.
I know from our other meetings and just being with the fire subcommittee, Anthony, you've gotten a lot of questions from ranchers in addition to that one. What are some of the other questions that if they were here with us that you think they would be asking Lynn about prescribed fire?
I think the last one, and this got asked a couple times yesterday too, is CEQA. And I know you and I have this conversation quite a bit, but maybe you can elaborate to our listeners about CEQA a little bit.
Sure. So California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, and it's, as it's endeared, is California's premier environmental law, which basically says projects of the state of California will not have impacts to the environment. That being said, we know that prescribed fire has less of an impact than catastrophic wildfire. It's obvious, right? It's much lower intensity. Doing fuel reduction projects, it's it's easy to understand that the impacts from doing fuel reduction projects are less than an impact from a catastrophic wildfire. CEQA says that you must disclose what you're doing and where you're doing it, how you're doing it, what you're doing it with, where, when, how, and why. It doesn't stop you from doing a project, but it does require you to plan the project and to disclose it to the public in order for the public to weigh in on whether or not they believe the project will have an impact or not. And so CEQA can be as complex as the project is. If the project is simple, then the compliance for CEQA can be relatively simple. It is a process and it takes time. And so that's the hardest part with CEQA, is the time it takes. And that's the biggest complaint I hear about CEQA, is it takes a long time. The people of California have said they support safe environmental practices in order to protect the environment. As somebody who works for the state of California, that's part of my mission. I like CEQA. It demonstrates due diligence. It demonstrates that we are having a positive impact on the environment. And so it does take time, and you need to plan for that time. In any project, especially large-scale projects, you know, for Cal Fire, if we're doing a 1,000-acre project, it will often take a year to plan it. It takes a long time. You know, we go out there and we look at the biological issues that are out there, botany issues that may be out there. We look at smoke impacts. We look at aesthetics. We look at several different criteria in order to develop and evaluate the potential impacts of the project. And then we propose mitigation in order to lessen those impacts to what we call less than significant.
So a Range Improvement Association, or PBA, if they conduct all the work, all the fuel breaks with their own equipment and no state resources, does CEQA still have to be done?
It depends on the project funding, typically. And so if it's a funded project from the state of California, yes. If a private landowner is out there doing work on their property, CEQA may not apply, but you would have to consult somebody who knows CEQA based on the project and the project complexity, and it's very site-specific. If you're out there mowing your lawn, and you've mowed your lawn every third Thursday of the, you know, during the summer or, you know, during the year, you don't need to do CEQA. That's something you've been doing. You can demonstrate that you have no impacts, and that's how you manage your property. So if you were to burn your property every year for the last 50 years, can you say that there's an impact from burning your property? Probably not, because that's how you manage it, right? Depending on the complexity, then that's how it gets weighed in. And so if you've never burned an area, then you might not know what's there. So you need to evaluate what's there in order to determine if you're potentially harming some environmental resource. If you burn every year, great, keep burning.
And this all needs to be started, the process, way early than when you really plan to burn. That way you can get your project off the ground. So those relationships, that interaction with those local units, it needs to start happening now to get them on the books.
It does. It's not just the Cal Fire units. It's your air quality district, too. And in order to build those relationships, I always say bring them out with you. Show them what you're doing. Show them the prescribed fire. Invite them to participate. Not just Cal Fire units, your air quality districts. Oftentimes, there's a huge fear around prescribed fire. The most successful prescribed fire is actually boring and won't make the daily press because it went as planned. Fire intensity was low as planned. It didn't jump the line as planned. There's a bunch of people standing around just in case, protecting, but if the prescribed fire goes as planned, it's really non-eventful. So it doesn't make the media.
So it sounds like there's are a lot of opportunities to get more prescribed fire. What's going to be the biggest challenge to get all these goals and hit all the strategic plan? Is it labor? Is it getting more people at Cal Fire? What's going to be the biggest hurdle to overcome?
You know, the biggest hurdle to overcome is something we've already mentioned. It's that relationship. It's that trust in that collaborative effort. That's what we need to get over. That's what we need to foster. And we're doing that. We're building trust. We're building relationships. And so by building relationships and building trust with the public, with our cooperators, together, our air quality districts, that's the big thing to get through. Once we get through with that, once we have a good understanding and a good relationship and trust, we will get to the pace and scale that we need to get to. It's not the 10-acre project. It's not the 100-acre project. It's the 1,000-acre project.
You know, the question that came up yesterday in our fire meeting was, you know, once a fire comes through, there's a real lack of management, and I'm not throwing this on CAL FIRE. There's a lack of management no matter who owns the lands. There's a couple questions out there. What are we doing so it doesn't type convert from a timber to brush? And is there another question that came up, was there any exemptions from NEPA or CEQA after a wildfire comes through?
So I'll answer the second question first, which is no, there's not. However, doing activities in an area that has already seen catastrophic wildfire, there are typically less potential impacts in order to maintain that area in a much safer management than before. Before, if there's a lot of trees and it provides habitat for certain species, catastrophic wildfire comes by and destroys the habitat. In order to maintain that and to grow that back to timber overstory, the impacts from those fuel reduction type projects or reentry of prescribed fire are much less than what that catastrophic fire already happened. There's not an exemption, but it is easy to demonstrate less impacts. So the CEQA NEPA process, relatively speaking, is easier. Now, let's go back to something you touched on, which is some of these large fires that have gone through. How do we maintain those areas to be safer for California? One of the key things that we mentioned in the strategic plan is maintenance of catastrophic fire areas. And so we can't go out there and maintain a 500,000-acre fire area. That's just not possible. We don't have enough resources in California to do that. But we do have enough resources in California in order to maintain strategic areas within those catastrophic footprints of that fire. And so maybe it means 10% of the area. Maybe it means 2%. It just depends on where those key ridge lines are, where we need to maintain those fuel breaks that we created during the catastrophic fire. Or do we need to build new ones now that catastrophic fire has gone through there and we need to build a fuel break and maintain that fuel break into the future? That's really key. It's an opportunity, since that catastrophic fire has come through and reduced that fuel load, in order to maintain that fuel loading at a low level. So then a catastrophic fire will not happen again, or it provides an opportunity to fight a fire from that location. And so there's strategic areas that we need to maintain within catastrophic fire footprints that we recognize as a need within the department and within California, on the Forest Service side and private landowner side.
Thanks for asking that, Anthony. I know that's something that comes up a lot for our ranchers that are out on the land and they're seeing things not moving or they look the same. I think that pretty much wraps it up this morning. I know we said we'd go 20 minutes and we're a little over, but that's okay.
Thanks, Katie. It's all good.
Yeah, it was great having you, and we'll look forward to continue working with you through the fire subcommittee and as we continue to hit all these goals.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, and look forward to the presentation later on today.
Thanks. Thanks for joining me as co-host, Sue Anthony.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
You can come on anytime.